IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport. Space. It is a beautiful summer day, and I'm back with some more great lacrosse content for you. Thank you everyone for your support as always, and really excited to kick off some great series for the summer. Going to be interviewing a lot of people that I find really interesting and touching on some topics based on conversations that we're having on social media, especially pertaining to what's going on in the summer with the professional lacrosse leagues going on. I'm very excited to kick that off. And today I have a fantastic guest on the show who I will allow to introduce herself. But for those that have followed me for a while, one kind of wish that I've always had is, you know, I just want to see like a female lacrosse coach at the higher level. I'm coaching a men's team, like, you know, all these different things. And having been coached by both female and male coaches, I've had great experiences with both, but I always find it interesting, you know, when I see it happen in basketball, when female coaches are hired by professional basketball teams, the reactions are always interesting. And so when I brought it up myself on Twitter, there were such mixed reviews, and I thought it was so interesting that people were not necessarily against, but a little caught off guard by the idea of having a female coach on a men's lacrosse team, but the idea of having a male coach on a female lacrosse team was completely normal. So yeah, I wanted to kind of touch on that. So I have Coach Melissa Rausch, and you can let me know if I butchered your name, because people butcher my name, so I will get
that was
it right.
Perfect.
Okay, awesome. I was practicing, like, okay, we're gonna say it how I think I say it. But yeah, Coach, thank you so much for taking time to chat with me this evening, and please introduce yourself.
Sure. Melissa Rausch. I am the head women's and assistant men's coach at Nichols College, a small D3 school in central Massachusetts. And I'm co-owner of Central Lacrosse, a girls club program here in Mass.
Nice, nice. That's awesome. So as y'all heard, she is coaching two teams at Nichols College, which is amazing. And in my Googling, because I love the internet and I love Googling things, I read that you were the first female coach to coach at the Nike Blue Chip, which, as many people listening know, is a top boys recruiting event in the country. So yeah, I you know, when I was tweeting about having female coaches coaching in men's college lacrosse, your name came up, and so many people were tweeting at me about you. And I'm like, you know what? I got to find this coach. Like, I need to hit her up and have her on the show. Because, I mean, obviously you've made an impact in your players, but other people as well. So wanted to spread some of that energy around. So how did you, you know, come into the game of lacrosse, and where did you play?
Sure. I played very limited growing up. There just wasn't a lot of girls lacrosse at that point in central Massachusetts. I was lucky enough to go to college and play field hockey and lacrosse at Elmira College in upstate New York. Had an awesome time, really fell in love with the sport. Upon graduation, though, I got a job. I don't think I really knew that the options to be a coach full-time were kind of at my disposal at that point. I had a very successful career in professional hockey. I worked in the front office of multiple professional teams. I ended up meeting my husband, and we moved from actually Massachusetts out to Colorado. And it kind of gave me that restart where I could just say, okay, what do I want to do? What have I always wanted to do? And lacrosse kept coming up in my head. So in moving to Colorado, I kind of just let my professional, or I guess at the time, professional career go, and started coaching high school lacrosse and just really getting engaged with the lacrosse community as much as I could.
Wow, that's awesome. That's, you know, getting that experience working in professional sports must have been so cool to see just, you know, how different sports teams are run, and especially at the front office.
Definitely. And it also gave me that confidence to to know that I could work in a male dominated field. And I never, in kind of starting to coach boys and then the men's game, at no point in the back of my head did I ever think, well, I can't do this because I'm female. I mean, I've already done it. I've already worked in front offices. I've already been, you know, that minority in thoughts. So I didn't have to, I just never really had a second thought about it.
That's awesome. It's awesome. So yeah, how did this position with Nichols College come about, especially coaching on the men's team?
Yeah. So for me, I'd been coaching high school in Colorado. I got very involved in the youth lacrosse scene there. The youth program that I was a part of, they were looking for a U9 boys coach and couldn't find one. So I went home to Kenny and kind of begged him to help out and help me, because I knew at that point, I guess maybe at that point, I wasn't confident if I did it on my own that maybe players or parents would receive me well. But I knew if I had him with me, we'd be all right. And we had a total blast doing it. A couple years later, there was a local high school looking for a high school boys head coach. Went home to Kenny and said, you want to try to do this again? And we agreed to, and we did it. You know, I was also still coaching the girls program that I'd been coaching for a couple of years now. So I think that's where in my head I knew that I could coach two teams at once and be okay. You know, I went on and I ended up working for a national club. They were, like we talked about, they were affiliated with the Nike Blue Chip. I kind of have that always wanting to learn mentality. You know, the hashtag I live by is better never stops. And so I kind of asked my bosses, like, hey, can I go out there and just watch? And they let me. Happened to be on the sideline of a team whose coach had to run to the bathroom or grab a cup of coffee or something. And they were in a drill and I didn't like what I was seeing. So I just took over. I just started coaching. At the end of it, the drill, I kind of like realized I had taken over and like took a couple steps back and like tried to get back on the sideline. And one of the directors was there and he just looked at me. He's like, yeah, no, get back on that field. Welcome to Blue Chip. You're here for the weekend now. And that weekend, I really just gained so much confidence. And I kind of knew from that point on, you know, I could really coach with, for anyone and be successful at any level. So fast forward a year, and I had a son, my little Wolf. And my lifestyle, like constant traveling with the club team and running different markets for that club, really just had to change. Nichols opened, their head women's coach position opened. I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to lead that program. The first few weeks of the season, I went to the men's head coach, Eric Gobiel, and said, hey, would you just mind if I came and watched and just hung out? Like, I'm just that person who wants to learn, like, just let me be a sponge. And I think he thought maybe I'd come for a day or two. And then I went every day for a week. And then the second week I showed up again and he just kind of looked at me. And he's like, I know your resume. Like, if you're going to be here anyways, like, let's go. We can always use another coach. And so that first year, you know, I was just helping out. And then that summer he offered me a position, a official position. And I've just been on his sideline ever since. And I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity that he gave me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's fantastic that he gave you that shot. And of course, you know, had heard about your talent, but I love that you were a go-getter in this situation. You knew you had the accolades, you knew you had the eye for it. One of the comments, I scrolled through my TL a little bit to look back, one of the comments was, well, you know, a woman might not know lacrosse, right? But in my mind, I don't, like, I know that the two games are a little different, but I feel like some of the mechanisms and a good amount of the knowledge of the game is about the same. So how did you maybe not necessarily like talk back to people that had that idea in mind, but to the naysayers, like, was there anyone who doubted the ability to translate what you knew about the women's game to the men's game, or even when you had all this knowledge, doubted your ability as a female coach to coach men?
Yeah, I don't know if I if anyone to my face anyways has said that, you know, you're not good enough or you're female, you can't do this. And the way I've always looked at lacrosse is it is the sport of lacrosse. You don't have to put men's lacrosse or women's lacrosse in front of it. It is the sport of lacrosse. The game is the same. There are nuances that are different. And that's the way I think that as a lacrosse community, if we want this sport to continue to grow and explode the way it has been, that's the mentality we have to start taking. We have to just look at it as the sport of lacrosse. And, you know, there are nuances for the different, for men's versus women's. You know, I don't know if, I think you always have self-doubt when you're doing something that no one else has done, or there are, haven't been a lot of people who have done it. But I also think it's just that like drive and passion. You know, the way I've always looked at it is I love studying and applying youth development, but now really all ages and variations of development. And in development, there's no gender there. It's just figuring out how to develop a player to be their best, whether it be mental, physical, either way, it's just a person you are trying to get better. And the gender role doesn't matter in that. And for me, I guess I just never wanted to limit myself to girls, boys, men's, women's. Like, I just want to help everyone I can get better. And at that point, when if I'm able to do that, then I'm growing our sport for everybody. And to me, that's most important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And especially to what you said about the mechanisms may be different, but at the end of the day, lacrosse is lacrosse. And I think that's what I was grappling with or kind of so perplexed about with the responses that I got, because it didn't make sense. It's like, well, it's all lacrosse, right? Like, we all catch and throw the ball, do most of the same things. But I guess because there haven't been many people that do what you do that are able to coach both, or that have had the opportunity to coach both. Maybe, you know, that's why that perception was there. And what are some, you know, barriers that we need to fix within lacrosse to get more women on the sidelines to show that they can coach, you know, a different gender?
I think I've stopped looking at it as like a gender thing. And I think that's what people have to look at it. I mean, I look at it as like, I'm coaching people. I'm not coaching men, or I'm not coaching women or girls or boys or whatever, you know, I'm just coaching people. And I think we need to start really looking at it from that perspective. You know, does my background of coaching literally from the littlest bobbleheads all the way up now through college help me? Yes, 100%. Does my dedication to understanding youth development and, you know, how kids' minds grow and at the same time how their body's growing and all that, that also helps. But again, we're not talking about anything that, you know, has to do with gender. We're just talking about ages and development times. And I think if we can stop thinking about it as, like you said, the men's versus the women's game, and just look at it as the sport of lacrosse, that's what's going to help, you know, women get more accepted onto the men's sidelines.
I'm like, I'm marinating that in my head, because I think that's a highlight right there. Like, what you said about understanding the player, understanding the person that you're coaching, being able to communicate, that's, to me at least, that's the basis of coaching. That's the basis of really great coaching, is understanding your players, and that transcends no matter what sideline, no matter what sideline you're on. And you mentioned as well, like, understanding kind of the psychology and the different, I guess, stages of youth development. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you got experience learning about those things?
Yeah, so I am incredibly lucky. Kenny is one of the best youth development coaches in the country. He works for USA Hockey, and they are on the cutting edge of the ADM, which is the adult developmental model, or athlete developmental model, sorry. You know, he constantly sends me articles. He's telling me about new drills they're doing. He really gives me that advantage of just being open with me and getting me kind of that quote unquote insider scoop of information. To me, if you don't understand the development of a player, it's tough to understand how to coach them at any level. So for me, that is, it's like the foundation. If you can understand the foundation, then you can build up on that. And if you don't, it's really hard to be the best at the top of, you know, the building if you don't know what happened in the basement. And that's really kind of why I think it's important. But I also think it's important because if we all as coaches understand development, again, both mentally and physically, as the children grow up, then we can do what's right for them at their age and at their maturity level. And then we're helping them learn everything they need to learn at that time to be their best. And now all of a sudden we're growing the best lacrosse players in the world because we're able to teach them what they need to know and how at those right moments.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that's so important, developing the player not only on the field. I think that sometimes in coaching we can get bogged down on the idea of like creating the perfect player, right? Making sure they move well, their stick skills, their footwork and all these things. But the mental aspect, the kind of psychological aspect of sports is something that's forgotten too, and something I want to continue to learn more about and have conversations about because there's so much more to it. And I think back to being in high school, and if I was going through a really rough day, I did bad on an IB English test or whatever, but having to go to practice and my mind's not in the game, and to a coach that could look like, oh, like she's just not trying, she doesn't want to put in the stick work, or she doesn't want to, you know, she's just not focused today, but there's more to it. And I wish that I knew how to communicate to a coach, or I wish that there were ways of coaches asking, you know, what can I do to help you to make sure you're present? And I think understanding that and knowing that there are so many things that go beyond your player just not wanting to be somewhere is huge. Like, if we could just eliminate the idea that if someone's having a rough day at practice or you know, a rough game, they don't want to be there, like, that I think would just change the landscape. And I love seeing these different programs happening and more conversation happening around the mental wellness of our athletes, because if we can understand how athletes grow and how athletes think and, like, what are the different factors, how do we make things better, how do we make things a little bit easier so they can perform, the landscape will change so well. So
yeah, no, agreed. And I think eventually we're going to get to a point. I mean, a lot of, you know, larger programs have this now, but I think we look at, you know, on the field play, we have the strength and conditioning aspect, we have sports medicine, and I think, you know, nutrition, a lot of programs have as well. And I think the next big thing that's going to move through is adding in that psychological piece to it. So that teams continue to get the best out of their athletes. And on the opposite side of that, the athletes get the best out of it because now they're learning about themselves. They're learning about what makes themselves tick. And they're learning how to take care of themselves, not only physically, but mentally as well, which is just so important, you know, for especially college athletes as they graduate and move on into, you know, the quote unquote adult world.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, being a college athlete is wonderful and it's a fantastic experience, but you're in that transitional stage where, like, you're likely miles away from home and you have class and then you have practice. You got to go 8 hours away for a game, but, like, you just want to sleep or you're struggling with this or struggling with that. And I think that that's a great group to research and really start to find out, like, what are college athletes going through. You know, when I see people chiding or having some pretty snide remarks to college athletes, I just think back to my, you know, like, D3 lacrosse experience that probably wasn't as stressful. But if someone was watching me play and then there were 10,000 tweets about, oh, you know, she dropped this pass or she missed this game-winning shot, like, I don't know how I would handle that. So, yeah, I hope that's what's next. I hope player development and understanding the mental side The mental side is next. So as you've, you know, as you've coached through the different teams, and you mentioned coaching out west as well, what are some, I guess, some changes that you've seen in the game that you think have really helped both versions of the game, whether it be rules or maybe equipment, really anything that you think has made a positive change?
I think that the shot clock, for one, really helps pick up the pace of play, right? Like, that's the whole point of it. I think having it both on the men's and women's side, again, solidifies the fact that it is the sport of lacrosse, and both, quote unquote, sports need it in order to pick up the pace of the game and really kind of push it to the next level. You know, equipment wise, I think that there's always going to be changes and nuances to equipment. I think as equipment gets better, as players, we feel safer. And sometimes that's more dangerous. But I think that for me, watching the shot clock really helped develop the game's speed. And now in turn, I love when I hear, you know, big time coaches say things like this is going to be a positionless sport soon. And that's something that I've always believed in. Like, it's all positions, no positions. You got to know how to play everything, because you're an attacker and you're down the field before a midfielder is, you better get over there and stop the hustle. Like, you better make sure we don't lose a fast break. And again, that's either side of the ball that I'm coaching, that's the case. And so I like to see that, you know, lacrosse truly is an athlete's game, and we're doing things to help create, you know, to continue to allow it to be that athlete's game, that makes it so special.
Definitely. And that question stems from just the different conversations I've seen about the rule changes that happen in the women's game, and when someone, you know, gets called for a dangerous shot or gets called for a check or something like that, there, you know, our initial reaction is, man, like, let the girls play. Like, you know, this is the higher level, this is college level. Like, we want people to be able to play and be as aggressive as, you know, as they need to be within the rules. So do you think adding, you know, helmets to the game, at least at the high school level, or allowing for more aggression in the level of play and quote unquote making the women's game more like the boys' game is appropriate? Or is it not necessarily necessary, but should we be trying to adhere to the ways that the versions of the sport have been traditionally played?
I am not a traditionalist. Clearly, I coach men's and women's, so I don't know if I think the biggest thing that can hurt someone is when they say, well, that's the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. I just don't agree with that in any phase of my life at all. So I don't know if our next step is adding helmets and being a full contact, and I have air quotes right now, full contact sport is necessarily where the sport should or needs or any of that. Mm-hmm. If it goes in that direction, then I think it's because that's the natural progression that the sport is taking. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I also think that doing things like the shot clock, having free movement, those are all steps in the right direction to help our sport become easier and more fan friendly to watch. They can start to understand, like, oh, something happened, but she picked up the ball and went. And instead of having that 10 to 15 seconds where every fan in the stands is like, what happened? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. There's just instant play. It's much more fun to watch and experience. So for me, I don't necessarily know or maybe have a direct opinion upon where is the sport or where the sport should go. But I know right now it's heading in a great direction, and whatever happens going forward, because we're in such a good trajectory right now, I feel like we're going to continue going that way. I don't have any worries about you know, our sport suddenly going in a direction that isn't the best for the sport. There's a lot of really good people out there making really good decisions that so far, you know, we've done a great job of getting it going in the right direction. And I believe that's going to continue to happen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. I think that the women's game, especially with the pace of play that's present now, is, like you said, heading in such a great direction. And there's, I have a direct opinion. I'll say I don't think there's necessarily need to add tons of contact and, you know, different hits and things like that. But I do think speed is something that's used. You mentioned free movement, something that was already there in field hockey and now added into the women's game just to make it faster. And what you said about free movement taking away the confusion, right? So I never even thought about that, oh, you know, if a new fan is watching the game, they don't have to ask someone else or wonder why a player had to move, you know, 4 meters away or however many meters away. The game just moved and it continued, and that takes away that element of questioning, you know, what's going on. So yeah, I think that's a really great take. I hadn't even considered that for free movement. I just thought it was really fun. Like, hey, I get to run. Cool. Yeah, I'm down to run anytime. And with the summer, you know, so we have the WPLL, we have the PLL, we have the MLL, all these different leagues playing. Are you watching the games? Do you have any teams that are your favorites right now?
Of course. Definitely watching. Last Sunday, I think that's, or Saturday and Sunday, I think that's all I did all day. No, I don't have any favorite teams. I've never been that person who's like, oh, I live in Boston, I have to love the Red Sox. Like, do I like the Red Sox? Sure. But I am a huge fan of, I just want to watch good games. Like, I just want to sit down and watch competitive sports, no matter what the sport is. And lacrosse right now, I mean, these games are awesome. They're fun to watch. The pace of play is amazing. My son is an absolute diehard hockey fan. If hockey's on the TV, he's going to pick up his stick and he's going to run around the house watching it. And the other day, he laid on the couch with me and watched lacrosse. It was huge. And it was that moment for me where I realized, like, hey, this sport is going to be mainstream. Like, this 4-year-old is going to grow up assuming that, you know, in the spring/summer, there's going to be college and then pro lacrosse on TV. And to me, that's going to help continue to grow the sport and expand its reach. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited for, you know, Wolf. I'm excited for, you know, all my little kids at Central Lacs who, you know, they're going to grow up just assuming that, you know, lacrosse is on TV and that, you know, professional lacrosse is a viable option for them when they graduate. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, that's so crazy. Like, the generation growing up now, and I think that probably started, I guess, around the way when I started playing in high school, but for them, it's the norm to have lacrosse on TV. Like, any kind of lacrosse you want to watch, just go on TV, go online, go on YouTube, it's all over. Like, that's, I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the internet and social media and the kind of exposure that we have to sports in present day is the knowledge and the access is unlimited. So, yeah, it's very, very cool. So, a question that I ask every guest, every person that I get to speak with is, you know, if there's someone out there who wants to be in your shoes, wants to coach, you know, both sides of the game and wants to get involved and wants to really make an impact and be mentioned in multiple tweets as someone that, you know, that should be talked about, what advice would you give to them?
You know, we touched on it a little bit before, but I think I'll just kind of revisit a little bit. Like, at the end of the day, we're all people, and don't focus on men versus women, but instead focus on coaching people. What does this person or player in front of me need? You know, I've never thought like, this is a male player, so I can yell at him, or this is a female player, you know, I need to be softer with her. I've just always thought, this is so-and-so, they are motivated by me doing what. And on that note, it's every team is different, right? Every team has that personality from year to year, not even necessarily from, you know, one school to another. And so as a coach, just evaluate the team that is in front of you. Don't necessarily get caught up in the detail of, you know, male, female, boy, girl, but just look at the team as a whole and evaluate what do they need as a team to be successful. That in a combination of that, you know, that whole mentality of better never stops. Like, don't, if you want to do something that's different, you got to be prepared to let a lot of things roll off your back. And you also have to prepare to just keep grinding every day. There has never been a day that I didn't want to go outside and practice on the turf for 4 hours in 32 degrees, with snow. And in Massachusetts, there are a lot of those days. It's not always necessarily the funnest, but it is for me. And I think if you are lucky enough to find that, then, you know, you certainly can do anything. So I would say definitely one, just make sure you're not that person who worries about, you know, the detail of men or women. And two, just don't stop. Like, I'll just keep going, no matter what. And if you have true passion for something and you're willing to, you know, never stop, you're going to be successful.
Wow, that's amazing. I feel like I need to write all of that down and just apply it to my daily life. Like, you can do this. It's okay. Just let it all roll off your shoulder and stay focused. That is amazing advice. And I genuinely mean that. And I appreciate so greatly what you said about, you know, treating people differently because male, female, like, the idea that you have to handle a certain group of kid gloves. Like, my high school coach coached football and he also coached us. And some days, like, I was like, Barb brought his football hat today. Like, he brought his football hat. But it was awesome, like, to have someone demand excellence from you and demand it in a way that, you know, they demand from everyone. My club coach, he coached football at Maryland and then he coached us and it was like, Coach Mark demands excellence from everyone. He doesn't care where you come from, your high school, what, like, he just wants excellence. And that's what it comes down to. And expecting the best and inspiring the best in your players. I think that's huge. And I'm trying to think what team was it? Someone just, I believe it was, the Cavs, right, hired a female assistant coach, and one of my friends texted it to me, and she texted it so excitedly because we have these conversations all the time. Some of the comments, of course, and I need to stop reading the comments, like, on the internet. Why do I do that to myself? I don't know. But the comments were like, yeah, like, get back in the kitchen, or, like, she's gonna baby the players, like, this is the big leagues, this is for the big boys. I'm like, you think she didn't know that when she signed the paper? She's ready, like... She's ready for the big leagues, ready for the big boys. But yeah, it all comes down to the passion for sports and the passion to win and to want to win. And I think it just, what you said is funny because when I write these tweets about having or seeing female coaches at the college level on men's teams, I never think about myself coaching at that level on a men's team. And now I'm like, why don't I think that? Like, why am I expecting someone else to do it if I'm not even going to step up and do it myself?
No, I think you hit it, though. Like, you know, I have some female athletes who they're just motivated by me being tough on them. Like, I know that if she misses a shot that she should have had, I need to call her over and we need to have some words about what's going on because that's how she is motivated. I have other female players, if I were to act that way too, they would crumble. And I need to instead to, you know, talk them calmly and rationally and explain to them what's going on and so that they can be calm and continue on. And then, but I have the same thing on the men's team, right? It doesn't matter in me coaching male or female, like those people who say things like that on Twitter, it's like, well, maybe you should get back in the kitchen. Like, maybe you need to learn how to cook them.
You know what? Yeah. Mm. I'm sure some of my aunts will listen to this and be like, is Tari sending us messages about her feminism again? I'm not. Out of respect for my culture, we'll have that conversation later. But yeah, no, it's like, the stupid kitchen comment is always the first one, and people like
always.
It. Like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? But yeah, and I think that it's wonderful that you're likely providing a player on a men's team that before was told, you know, boys don't cry, right? Or like, you're not supposed to show your emotion. You need to keep it together. You're probably providing someone an opportunity to express themselves and to remove that weight on their shoulder, off of their shoulders. And on the other hand, like, there might be a player on your women's team that, you know, hasn't really had that kind of, not necessarily pressure, right, but never had an opportunity to get the inspiration at a different level, and you've pushed them to perform at the next level because someone told them, you know how to do it, and I need you to go do it. No baby hands, no baby gloves, like, having such a holistic view of coaching just sounds like so awesome. Like, it just sounds like you have transcended all the levels. And I'm definitely fangirling, right? But that's what I do on this podcast. And that's why people listen to me, so they can hear me be really excited. And ramble on about things. But yeah, I feel like you're transcending any preconceived notions that we had. And I'm so glad that it's in lacrosse and it's within our sport. So, you know. That's awesome.
Well, thanks. It's, I never really, this year is the first year that people started really noticing. The first 2 years it was more of a like, oh, hey, the training room's down here, because everybody assumed I was the athletic trainer,
right.
Or, you know, you can fill up the water bottles over here because I thought I was the team manager. This is the first year that I've been considered more of a coach to visiting or when, you know, opposing teams than in years past. But I've also gotten a lot more attention, and not like big time attention, but, you know, parents talking to me about, you know, how excited they are that their son, you know, has a female on the field because they're excited that now he's already had a boss who's female. So when next year, when he graduates and gets into the real world, you know, his learning curve for having a female boss is gone, right? Because
yeah.
He's already had a female boss. And,
absolutely.
And there's different, and there's different things like that, that this year I've started to kind of get a little bit more feedback on a very positive way that, you know, I definitely didn't do it for any other reason, just for me to selfishly to want to get better so that I could continue to be the best coach I could be, so that I could continue to give back to lacrosse. But now I realize that not only on the, you know, youth and adult female players, you know, allowing them to see that it's possible, but, you know, also that kind of other aspect of the male players getting something out of it as well. You know, it's just the kind of like a side effect of me just wanting to be the best coach I can be to give back to the sport. So I guess it's just kind of like the extra stuff on the side that is actually the good stuff, not just the extra stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow, that thing about having a female boss, that's such a good, that's, I feel like, maybe, I don't know if it's, like, the best response you can possibly get, right, because I'm sure there's a ton of great responses, but that's true. In the world we live in, like, your boss could be anyone, and you just have to have that respect, and you have to have the willingness to work with them, the willingness to learn from them, and to eliminate any preconceived notion about having a female boss right off the bat. Like, that's fantastic. And I say this, you know, I work as a consultant, so I've been on a couple of different teams, and I've had both male and female bosses and bosses from all different backgrounds. And I think the success that we've seen was because people knew the expectations and separated the expectations from the person giving them, right? It was like, this is my boss and this is what they want me to get done. That's it. And wow, yeah, that's a really, really good observation to have about the benefits of learning, you know, when you're in especially a high pressure, a more elite level situation, that this is the world and you need to be ready for it. So yeah, that's a great observation. It's a great observation. So what's next for you? So you mentioned you are the owner of Central Lacrosse. So you know, what age levels are you coaching, and what are some tournaments you're involved in? How can people find out more about your program if they want to reach out?
Yeah, so centrallax.com and then central.lax on Instagram and central.laxma on Twitter. We're a youth development company. That's the way I look at it. You know, some people call them club teams or whatnot. And for us, we are truly a athlete development program from the littlest laxers all the way up through the college level. My business partner and I just have made a total commitment to the training. And we, all our parents know and all our players know, we are not worried about going to a tournament to win. If we win, that's a byproduct because we worked hard to get better. And that's the way we look at it. And I hope that's the way we'll always look at it. You know, we do camps, clinics. Again, we have kind of the travel teams. This weekend, we'll be at the national draw. We're very excited, and our high school teams will be. And then our youth teams will be at Heart and Hustle here in Massachusetts. And this summer, we'll be at the Rise. We'll be up in Stowe. We'll be trying to think of which one I'm missing. But yeah, we'll be traveling around and hopefully helping our players get better. So you know, we're very excited for that. Nichols is having a little bit of a coaching change right now on the men's side. Again, Eric Gobil, who I've been working under the last 3 years, he just took our athletic director's position that was vacant. So hopefully whoever takes the head men's job will sign me up and keep me on board.
Don't worry, we'll start a petition. We'll make sure you stay.
We'll make sure. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. As far as me long term, I don't really know yet. I think that I'm excited to see what happens over the next couple of months. You know, if there was a team, you know, at a division, one, two or three level that wanted to, you know, take a chance on a female, as a head coach, I hope that, you know, I would get that phone call. But I also love doing both. And so it would be very difficult for me to have to make kind of that decision. But just like everything else, you never know what the future holds, and we'll definitely see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to follow along with your journey and can, you know, support in any way that I can. And I think I came into our conversation, you know, seeing men and women's lacrosse as these two different entities that, you know, that the coaching is different and the personalities are different. And but now I think you opened my eyes to the idea that at the end of the day, you're coaching athletes and you're coaching lacrosse, and what matters is the impact you have on your athletes as players and as people. And I hope that that's a takeaway that whoever's listening to this also has.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.